Welcome back to Horizons. Now, you may already know this, but in case you didn't, every weekday on Radio Kerry, a short segment called Just a Thought is played. It showcases thoughts in the form of poetry or short prose from contributors from around the diocese. To be clear, I don't write these, but the responsibility for producing and scheduling these segments does lie with me, and I'm always looking for new submissions. So if that interests you, to give you a bit of creative inspiration, this next conversation is almost like a behind-the-scenes commentary track for the thoughts that will be broadcast over the next week. Enjoy. Mick Joyce, welcome to Horizons.
Thanks very much, David.
You are a long-time contributor to both Horizons and Just the Thought, going well back before the start of my tenure, and you've written a book. We have a unique opportunity here that we don't normally do because you've read some of these poems for Just the Thought, which will be coming out later after this interview. But some of the poems, you have some notes about them that I'd like to talk about more, if that's okay with you.
Yeah.
The first one you read was called The Purple Flower.
Yes, that was written quite a while ago, and I didn't change a great deal of it, and it got its inspiration from a flower stroke tree that was growing out in Ballyhigan, my place, that has now gone because the wind took it.
Oh no.
But it hasn't affected my faith in planting anything, because I love planting trees and I love being out there. It's something I'm really passionate about. I love the interaction between the garden and the trees and so on. So, and I also think it's possible to write a poem like that, which is technically called a villanelle in its rhyming scheme, and bring in maybe your outlook as well. And I think I've managed to do that in the poem, as well as connect with the uncertainty of something growing or not growing, and whether you can have faith again or come what may, as the poem says.
That's great that the flower tree being ripped away didn't dampen your enthusiasm, because they say the best time to plant a tree was 10 years ago, but the second best time is today. So yeah. You can replant that purple flower if you want to.
If I want to, yeah, exactly, yeah, that's true.
The second one that you read was called A Prayer from Scolmore Cemetery, Bradford.
Yes, I suppose that's a backstory there, which I maybe just will refer to very briefly. The reason I was in the cemetery in the first place was that, and it's a long story, so I won't delay on it. My uncle was one of those people who went to England and went missing, so to speak. I ended up being the one who found him, too late indeed, in the city of Bradford. He had died there, and he had been cared for by the social services and was buried in Scolmore Cemetery in Bradford. So that's how I got there. That's what brought me there, brought me to Bradford. But while I was there and tending to that grave and getting a headstone put up and everything, I noticed that it's now quite a Muslim city. There's a whole Muslim section there, and it's almost like a crossroads, and there's this strange writing. And I looked at it, and I looked it up then afterwards, and I said, oh, that's interesting. That's a prayer in a language I don't understand. And O dweller of the graves, peace be upon your soul. So it got me going. About 5 years ago, I put a few words together, and then I added a few more then very recently. And that's the poem that's there. And I decided to call it a prayer because I was connected to the whole population, if you want to call it that, like that, in the cemetery, both old and new, Jewish people from the wars, immigrants like my late uncle from various parts of Ireland and Scotland and Wales and England and wherever. You know, I had conversations with social workers over there who told me a lot about the life of people like that. And my hope was that they could all be gathered together somewhere, you know.
Oh, wow, that sounds like an amazing story.
Yeah. I have another poem in the book that's related to Bradford, at least one more, two more, actually. And I got quite inspired there, actually.
That sounds amazing. Your third one is, and I'm going to do my best to pronounce this correctly, In Nyungwe Forest.
Well done. Well done. Bulabus, David. Yes, it was my privilege in 2007, along with Josephine, my wife, we were invited over to Rwanda for a month by a medical missionary of Mary who was working there. And we had a life-changing experience, really, just visiting. It was 13 years after the genocide there, and there is a poem in the book about a memorial around that genocide. But one of the fantastic experiences I had, uplifting, almost mind-blowing experiences, was to spend a day in Nyungwe Forest, which is the rainforest, and it poured rain. And, you know, I was like someone that was a child that was out in the rain for the first time in his life. We were all like that. We were drenched, but we were high. So out of that was a kind of a, well, I suppose you'd call the poem a kind of, there's a sweetness in it and a joy in it, but there's also a slight sadness in it, because one of the forgotten tribes of that country, the Twa, used to dwell there, and they were the real dwellers of the forest there with their skills and pottery and tending the trees for honey and so on. But they're a bit like a lot of cultures now. They're at the margins and suffer from all the problems that marginalised people have.
Yeah.
So I was full of that sadness too. And you'd feel it in there. You'd feel the ancient, I think I put it down, the ancient absence. You know, it was palpable. But it didn't take away from the actual swirl of happiness that I felt in there. It was unbelievable.
That's an amazing story.
And I just wanted to put something in print around it, you know, so...
Yeah, it's great. I've never been to a rainforest, just out of idle curiosity. If you're in a rainforest in a torrential downpour, are you covered in rainproof gear or would that make you too hot? Do you just accept your drenchedness?
We just went with the flow a bit. Now, Rwanda is known as the land of the thousand hills and the forest has hills in it as well. So you were going down, down, down and then up, up, up. So we had things to take our mind off the rain as well, you know. But I have a vivid memory of looking up and seeing these giant ferns with the rain glistening on them and bouncing off them. It was out of this world.
That sounds fantastic. Yeah. The fourth poem you read is Ragged Robins Hold Sway. And we were talking about this beforehand. Ragged Robins are not, as I thought, birds.
No, and I have to plead ignorance myself until I discover them. They're a species of wildflower, quite delicate and longish, need a bit of protection. They're pink and a bit spiky and don't last that long. They need protection, but I love them. I love the fact that they can survive in wind. I'm on the side of a hill in Ballyhaig, in Doon and Ballyhaig, and they survive every winter. In fact, they seem to like to come back every year, and I like the fact that there's something about them, there's something in the sway that can take you into another world very quickly, take you out of your own concerns. And it's that magic about them that I like. I'm sure other people have their own favourites in a garden. And I combined my memory there with a memory I had of being in a retreat house in Wicklow called Antarsha, and I had a lovely experience there with flowers as well and with crabapple trees and God knows what. I'd be connected into nature. So this poem is something of a combination of the two, really. It kind of captures a kind of something that would bring you to quietness, to being mystical, to wanting to praise, to pray.
And it's great to be observant of different kinds of biodiversity, because that's very important to us down here in the diocese, and especially during the month of September.
Yeah, I'm very connected into that whole scene myself. There's quite a number of poems that are nature poems in this collection, and in many ways they write themselves. They say, write about me, you know.
Not everybody can hear that call, and if a plant asked me to write about it, I'm not sure I could, once I got over the initial surprise of the interaction.
Yeah.
Your fifth poem, Mick, is called Hidden Ground.
Yeah, that was begun actually during COVID.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, it was time to kind of do nothing or be clear up outside and all that kind of thing. And I'm sure, like a lot of people, I looked out one day and I said, oh, dear God, there's stuff here, as they say, you know, and stuff that I had thrown away and stuff that I hadn't used and like I connected with it. And I didn't think that it would go into a poem, but there are memories in that corner of my plot, so to speak, around the house that were very precious to me. So, for instance, the gift of pallets from the neighbour. I know the neighbour and I know it was a lovely thing to do. And the surfeit of plastic, now I wouldn't be too sure about, but these are wild attempts to, you know, to control things, I suppose. But wood lice and snails, you can do nothing about.
No.
And maybe they're a good sign, you know. And I just felt drawn into it again, and there was a broken mirror there, so in a way I saw bits of myself reflected back, including my feet and my legs, and I just said, oh yeah, this is where I am, this is where I live, home for all I throw away, home for all I keep. And it kind of brought it to a conclusion, so I felt connected both to nature but also to the fact that I'm a hoarder and need to get rid of some stuff as well, you know. So
did you end up doing anything with the pallets?
Well, I did, because I used them to stack timber and cover them with the same plastic. So until I got something else to do that for me. I don't just throw things away. I'd like to feel that there's some of me in them all as well, and because your hands touch them and your work goes into them and your spirit goes into them, and the spirit of those objects come into you as well. And many of us know that, you know, that, you know, why do people not throw out things? Sometimes because there's a bond of affection or a bond of memory. You know, I can't throw that out because X, Y, Z.
I know a lot of people would have, similar to you, done a lot of sort of gardening stuff over COVID. So I'm sure there's a lot of people who can relate to that poem, trying to clear up their hidden grounds.
Yeah. One thing that I really remembered from that fairly brief interlude in that corner was the unopened fuchsia. I said, gee, you know, it was like I know what's going to come here, but it wasn't right. It wasn't actually there yet, you know. And the sky came through, and that was blue. And it's amazing how the memory can hold you.
Yeah.
And it keeps you there, and that helps to write the poem as well, because you're alive in it.
Yeah.
And okay, I wrote a lot more than what's between the covers, but it gives you the raw material to get it on page and to hear yourself speak it as well.
Yeah.
And I say, yeah, does this cut it? And by and large, I'm happy with it, you know. So.
Yeah. And be sure to listen to Mick's poems, which will be going out on Just a Thought. Mick Joyce, congratulations on the book. Thank you for coming on Horizons.
Thanks, David.
Now, if that has gotten your creative juices flowing and you'd like to record some thoughts of your own, we look for them in sets of 5, usually around a minute in length each. If you're interested, you can find out how to contact me at the end of the show. This is my new commandment.
Just as I have loved you.
after the break, a Samhain festival.